Now, about that time, you took the junior summer program on, didn't you?
Yeah, they call it JASP, GASP, Junior Athletic Summer Program. And I was the director of that for 4 years, as I remember
Well,
it.
tell me, I think maybe a lot of people don't really know what that was all about. Can you describe the program that you
Well,
set up?
it was a program they set up in the summertime, the club sponsored, where they could take the younger children. Fact is, they took some of them a little too young, I thought, but it turned out to be kind of a babysitting for some of them. But they would teach them how to surf, swim, play volleyball, and they'd go over in the park and teach them a little bit about soccer and volleyball.
Softball.
Softball, and then get up in the volleyball courts here, and some of the old timers, the volleyball pros around here, like Tom Haines, would give them instruction, and I had that program for 4 years. I think it was about 67, 8, 9, and 1970, and actually, I got people and women to help so that the club didn't have to pay a lot of money for people to do things. We'd set up a picnic. I'd go over to Wymanella, the Air Force base over there, the Air Force Station they called it, at Bellows, and they'd take a luncheon, and I'd have the mothers go along, and they could take their babies, and the club would furnish the food, but the Wahines would furnish the transportation, you see. So anyway, it wound up in the 4 years there. The club made a small profit, maybe $100 or $200 or so,
Wouldn't tend to be a profit making
but it
business.
wasn't a profit-making deal. But anyway, the club didn't have to subsidize it.
Well, how many would take part in the summers?
Well, each
Pretty
year we'd run around to somewhere around 90 or 100 kids.
That's what I thought.
A couple of times we had a better than 100. And we used to take them on field trips. And the only field trip that I canceled real quick was after one time was up on Diamond Head, and they were running around there like mountain goats, just scared the hell out of me because I was afraid one of them was going
Oh,
to fall over, you see. But anyway, it turned out to be a real good program. And I understand they're running something like that now, but not on as extensive areas.
it seems to me it isn't nearly as
No, they run it for about
large
maybe
in a couple of 3 weeks.
four or 5 weeks or
Yeah,
so.
yeah. How long did this run? How many? What
Well,
period? Is it?
I had it for 4 years.
No, I mean in a summer, how many weeks?
Oh, it ran for about 8 or 9 weeks.
It seemed to be a long
Yeah,
time.
it was quite extensive.
And of course, making the kids into better citizens was another aspect of it, wasn't it?
Yeah,
They
we
would
were
get along
teaching them how to act
better.
around the club, you know,
Yeah,
and
right. Terrific. Terrific. Now, what else were you involved in those years after you got back? Of course, you were on the
well,
board.
I was on the board for 6 years, and chairman of the House committee for 2 years. I was on that committee probably 4 or 5 years altogether, but I was chairman for 2 years, and I was chairman of the golf committee for about 6 years or so, and of course I've been a member of that committee for 21 years. And while on the board, well, no, this is when I was on the House committee. I recommended the board that we have a bumper sticker on the cars
Oh, yeah.
to identify the cars so that we can regulate the parking.
Right.
So we had a committee, but it wound up I did all the work because the committee was one of these that they don't do anything. So
Chairman does all the
does the
work.
work.
Yeah,
So
that's right.
I designed the first parking sticker, and I found out locally it would cost us about 60 cents a sticker to have made. So I contacted my brother at North American Aviation. He was in the purchasing department there, and He says, I'll get them made for you. So I sent my designs over, and he had them run off for about 9 or 10 cents a piece. And I'm pretty sure now that every time they get them, have them remade, they use the same outfit, and they're getting them for practically nothing compared to what it'd be locally. Of course, the local outfit would just send them over there anyway, so
sure,
with a ripoff. And
you were involved in the entertainment committee too.
Well, that was as a coordinating director for the entertainment committee.
Yeah, I remember you were involved in that, Bob. So.
And
now, when were you made a Winged Owl?
That was in 1974.
Uh-huh. And that was, what was that based on?
Well, that was primarily based on the founding of the Hawaii Canoe Racing right. Association and all my years on various committees and the pushing the Wednesday night volleyball and beef stew night. And and being Santa Claus.
Well, that's cool.
And and this parking stickers, and also I sitting out here in the out chairs, I heard people saying, which way is west, which way is
that's right
what out here,
that's south, they thought it was yeah. south, to look out south, right?
So I found out from Klein Mann that he had surveyed the wall out there, and it almost ran north and south.
Well, north and south, yeah, along the line of it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
People north and south running across it.
Yeah. So I went down to the Isle of Moana, and I found a compass locator, which you'll see out here installing the wall. And I went out there and with the chisel and everything, and dug out a place and set this down in there.
Yeah.
And cemented it in. It's still out there.
Oh, sure.
One reason it's still out there is that I put a bolt in it and a cross piece and dug down so that you can't pry it out, you see. But anyway, people come down and they say, now, which, they'd look out toward Barber's Point, and they say, now, what is it? Is that south or is that west or what it is?
Yeah.
So they could look at this thing and see that the wall pointing down toward the Royal was just about due north.
Yeah, right.
Which is hard to believe when you're sitting out there.
Yeah.
That's about
yeah,
it.
Well, now, there's one more honor you had is life membership. When did you get that?
Well, my last year on the board was in 1980, and in the annual meeting in February 81, they awarded me the life membership.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was very pleased to get.
Sure. Well, you got anything in just in a general way that you'd like to put on the record for oral history? You realize, of course, that this will be around for at least 100 years.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's a distinct privilege to belong to the Outrigger. It's awfully nice to be able to come down here and relax. Nobody bothers you. Don't ask you any embarrassing questions. If they ask them, they don't expect you to answer.
No answer.
And I come down here to see my friends. And it's really a good family club. You take, there are several families I can think of right off, like Tommy Hain and his family. They practically live down here. And you and some others, like Frank Walton, are over here every day, off and on, several times during the day, checking to see if the club's running okay. I don't have anything else.
Nothing else?
Nothing else,
nothing
Tommy.
Else. Okay, you think we covered you pretty well?
Pretty well, yeah. Of course, naturally, after I get out of here, I could probably think of other things.
Right,
but
right. Pretty hard to hit everything, you know. But if you do like we tried to do, keep it chronological, pretty much covered and so on. Well, Bill, thanks a lot for the interview. And as I say, this will be around for 100 years, and people can know who Bill Capp was.
Well, no. As long as the club hangs around here,
yeah,
that's the main thing.
That's right. Okay.